My name is Benny Anderson. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm doing five hours of lectures based on a book that I did in 1981 called Breaking Through. And today my topic would be is liberation. Let me begin to talk about what I think the word liberation means in context of disabled folks. The word disable, the word disable is when we talk about liberation of disabled people, we need to talk about moving out and becoming more aware of things outside of who they are. I began liberation process in my own life when I decided to take charge of my own life, when I decided to step outside of the realms of my family, the people that took care of me. Liberation is to take that chance, to take a risk, to say, okay, fine, I may make it and I may not. Liberation is also a change of attitudes that is being revolving from what you want to be tomorrow and what you are today, and to be able to change to become that person that you want to become tomorrow. It is a frame of attitude about who you are and who friend of mine who is disabled, she talked about changing the attitude. When she became disabled through an accident, things rapidly changed for her. Not because she wanted to change, but her accident automatically put her into a lifetime changing to get used to who she is from that accident. And she always talks about the kinds of attitude that she had within herself about herself. I think liberation can say that it can be done within inside of yourself. The way you think about yourself and the way that you understand oneself. It's very difficult to go through a liberation change like that, to become somebody else than somebody that your parents or your friends don't recognize.
You're talking about disabled from birth or
from... I'm talking about all kinds of disabled people that are not only from birth, but from accidents and stuff. I I got cerebral palsy and I've been handicapped from birth.
But that could, it could still apply though to somebody in an accident.
They could, sure.
Their mental attitude could perhaps even be more drastic because they knew, I mean, they had had all the privileges of communication and, you know, viability and speech and everything else. And then to suddenly become speechless or paraplegic, not being able to move or something like that, that would be more drastic even than from birth, wouldn't it? Or would it be?
Well, I think you are 100% right. I think it is I'm used to being the way I am because I don't know anything but the way I am. But liberation still needs to take place within myself. The way I look at myself and the way I do things. What I was saying before you asked me that question, when you go back to your friends who know you before and don't know you, no, ever some revolving have took place within your own life. It is tough, it's very difficult for them to understand why you are changing. Only the change in my own life was, I had to change, I had to change from a person who always felt sorry for myself and felt that everybody owed me everything to where I'm at now, that nobody owed me anything and I can do it. I can do it. If I put my mind to it, I can do it. I can overcome. The subtitle of my book is Overcoming Handicaps, Reaching Out to the World. Basically, what that is a liberation statement, is that I become not concerned about my own handicap, but I'm reaching out and trying to help other people to be able to cope with that handicap. And that, like I say, that is a liberating statement in itself. That is a process that is going on as you begin to think about the way that you want to be tomorrow. And leave yesterday behind and coming home to your friends and family that they think about yesterday and how you were yesterday and they are still stuck in the material of yesterday and they don't know how to accept you of the revolving change. In what I call the liberation chains of today for yourself.
Well, now, wouldn't they be glad to see your change, though? Wouldn't they think that you were growing? Or?
It depends on what mentality they are set into.
Oh.
There's IQ. And that sort of thing bear into this at all? Or Where does the Bible fit into this? You're teaching anything about from the Bible in this course, or?
I think in the whole chapter of, I think Jesus was always in midst of change and in midst of liberation. Well, to set people free from the present state of mind. Jesus came to free them from who they are, from sin, and say, no, you don't need to always go along with the nature by who you are. I'm reminded about the woman at the well, the great forgiveness. She was liberated from she was liberated from who she was. And now she can walk in that liberation. And I think liberation really go along with what Jesus was all about. Jesus was about liberation. To make people think about who they can be. And say, yeah, you can do it. You can go beyond the limitations of what other people have set before you. You can raise above that limitation and become somebody else.
How about the attitude of the government programs? Has that changed enough to help any?
I think we within the government programs, we have gradually begun to see changes. In education, we have seen changes. We have seen changes about the attitude about, are we going to bring you in and introducing you or not? I think that become a real liberation statement to say, no, we don't want you to be in an institution. We want you to be out here. We want you to live at home with your parents, with supervision if necessary. It really the liberation thing is that we are really involved for people that are not into the whole liberation. Don't get hung up on the word liberation.
No, but you've been using that word liberation practically every sentence you
put. I'm not talking about the kind of liberation that you read about. I'm talking about the way you perceive yourself and the way that you want to move out to change yourself to become somebody else that you want to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, where we are in a lot of my, I'm quite, well, we have what you call a state home for people right near us, or people who are disabled, mostly from birth. And they had a program there originally where they had a farm. And they had a champion dairy herd. They raised hogs and cattle. And the people, as many as 50 at a time, would learn how to take care of the animals, milk the cows, you know, with a machine, and do all those chores. And then the state legislature, they up and close that all up there and get a program where they have these Special Olympics, and they play basketball, and they take them up and skiing, and they closed all that, and they're making a lot of good basketball players and skiers and one thing another, but
nothing practical.
That's right.
That too become changed the liberation of who they are, and I'm glad that things are changing, and I think things got to change for the better, for the better of the people, for the better of who they are.
And then they're having.
Let me finish on what I'm saying is that if people did not allow me to become liberated, to evolve into new things, to get involved, I would be back home where my mother and dad would be taking care of me for the rest of my life. And that is not what disabled people want. Disabled people want to be able to live on their own. To be able to do at much for themselves. I got a friend of mine that lives in Kansas City. She's totally dependent on her family for everything. But she's a big thinker. She can think the way she wants to think. Even within the dependency, she is independent. She is able to have her own thoughts about who she is, even though maybe we don't know what they are because she is not able to speak. Liberation don't only mean that you are completely separate from your family, from your friends. You have a codependency there because your friends allow you to change. And I think that basically what you were trying to say is that your friends will go along with the change. Even though maybe that change is really hard for your friends. Yeah. I remember when somebody got converted to become a word outgoing or speaking and become a Jesus freak. Her friends did not automatically like the change. But gradually they began to understand that change for that person was good. So, when we talk about terminology is only labels that have something to do with what is going on between the people. And I think the gospel forgiveness is really a liberating thing for that person to know that they don't need to be guilty no more. That they are forgiven. And people that wear masks all the time, that people, somebody they can accept them for who they are. Crummer, the mask that they hide behind, because that person can say you are okay the way you are, you don't need that mask.
Well, that's hard for...
And that person can and that person can say, I like the way you are changing. Take, you know, I want to tell you a glimpse about who I am. I would classify to be a mentally retarded person. I would also, my parents also so were told that I would be a man with a 12-year-old mentality, which would make up to be a IQ of about 63, which on the scale would say that I would be eligible, but not beyond that limit. And my mother and dad did not believe the test. They knew there was something that was going to happen, and something that was going to break. And something did break. It broke for them and it broke for me.
What was it?
Well, what it was the kind of attitude about who I was about my own self. Do I want to stay home and watch TV for the rest of my life? You do I want to be involved with people and involved with my life to carry on, to be able to help other people. I pushed myself into that because I was motivated enough to be able to do that. It had nothing to do with my mentality. It had everything to do with, are you motivated to go out and be somebody? And are you capable of maintaining your life? And that it really tricky because mentally handicapped people is also independent in their own way.
So you're saying you feel better about yourself now that you've changed, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I had the liberation of spirit to go beyond the limit that they have set.
Society sets limits for you, don't they? Is that?
Society, yeah, they put limits to you. Why? Because they can't read between the lines. They look at a chart and say, oh, you must be able to fit into the category. They don't look at you as a person. That is being changed. That is changing every day as medical people do research. That whole, you know, what I am doing is doing awareness of around the country and in other churches. For that change to happen.
Well, I feel that way too.
What?
I feel that way too sometimes. I'm just a number in a lot of cases. Nobody.
Sometimes you feel nobody really cares. Nobody would notice.
Yeah, because and especially in so many things now, there's getting to be so many people in the world, you know, and everything. The way. Especially the way finances of one country to another, old billions of dollars, and we have to to keep some of these other countries sovereign, we have to loan them the money so they can pay the interest to us. Things like that, you know.
I would like to keep on the topic because of being able to being taped. We are being taped for somebody else to enjoy listening to the topic. I'm going to talk about in the next couple of days. They're going to be talking about what are you going to do with your life. That also has something to do with liberation. My mother, dad, liked the kind of liberation stuff that I'm involved with. What I was going to say before was, since I really believe very strongly in people that have equal rights among disabled people, I devote all of my time to educate, to be involved with to talk about revolve and situation for disabled people throughout church and throughout community, throughout the country. Because I sometimes I began to understand that maybe I'm a revolutionary, that you're trying to break into some new ground to become more, to allow people to become more than what society have categorized them and say, you do not need to fit into the category. You can go beyond that. You can become whoever you want to become.
And that's through faith in God, too.
Yeah, it is a mindset. And for me, it is my beliefs and my journey that I have with God. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have strength enough to go on without my personal belief in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Being a Christian and being involved with changes, God helped you to God helped me to change. Because I have so much stuff against me. Everything is against me. I mean, not everything, but the society is kind of built on that kind of mentality.
Well, you know, our society, it kind of means everything in our society to be young and healthy. I mean, you know, it's harder to not be. My husband is not healthy, he's very weak, and you know, there are times when we feel left out from things because he can walk, but he just can barely walk. I mean, life is a struggle for him every day, and he has to rest more than most people, and yet he does maintain a full-time job, and I'm very proud of, you know, what he can do, because he does push himself, and we try to make our life as normal as we can, and I think you try to make yours as normal as you can. And
I don't allow people to limitate who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm sold on the idea that people need to go beyond the limitations. Mm-hmm. I need to go beyond my limitations. I got a lot more out there that I do not believe that I can do it, but I know that someday I need to go beyond what I know that I can't do today, beyond that, because, yeah, if I could get this far into my life, I could get a lot more further. Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? You can see progress, can't you?
Saying, in my whole attitude about who, it basically wraps up about who you are with inside yourself, and how you think about yourself, and how do other people conceive you as a person. You give your friends the energy to want to be with you. I really believe that. Friendship is not automatically. You do something to create that friendship. You both have the energy that create that friendship together. It don't happen. And if you ain't outgoing, you are limiting yourself of the possibilities of what can be done within your life and what can be done with other people's life through you. See, as God works through your life as in the midst of what he wanted to teach us, and what they wanted to teach you, it goes with people. People are the one that carry on the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. And if we are not motivated to say, yeah, God created a beautiful creature like me, then I know that to me that kind of this not my, you know, I'm a outgoing person and that who I am, and that may or may not be a threat to somebody else.
I know, we found with my husband's problems that God uses them in special ways. I mean, like down at work, everybody knows that my husband comes to work even though he hurts very, very much. And sometimes he'll have someone say to him, you know, I got up this morning and my shoulder, the arthritis in my shoulder hurt so bad, boy, I almost called in and said I'm sick today, and then I thought of you and I came to work. And there's just lots of ways, you know, that we find God has, I don't know, turn this illness into a useful thing, and we try to dwell on the positive of that as much as we can. But there are times when it gets us down that he's not very well. You know, sometimes we feel bad and we wish we could do more than we can.
For the benefit of the people that are living, they're going to listen to the tape, I got to tell you a story about a Garnet Becky. I always tried to change the location where Becky lived. So when I'm out in California, Becky lives in New Oak. And when I'm in New Oak, Becky lives in California. It was a girl named Becky, and Becky did not like herself at all. She thought that she was the most ugliest person that ever was created. And many mornings she would get up early in the morning and take rocks and think about who she is and who she wasn't. And one day she was sitting on a log, and she noticed Fetty the Fog doing his own thing, you know, the ugly, grimy, green fog. And she began to give them attachments to Fetty the Fog because she felt many times foggy, the way she unsaid itself. And she came to the point where she kissed the fog, and both of them turned into beautiful princes and prince. And the moral of the story is that Jesus is there to hug us, to kiss us, to make us into, to liberate us from who we are, to make us into new creatures in his own image. To restore that relationship to say, you belong to me because I created you. And you were baptized. And that is also a very beautiful liberation story about God's grace and God's subject to people that don't feel good about who they are and want a face lift. I got a friend of mine at home that went through the treatment on his face because his face was very, very rough when he was a kid. And they took the grind off all the weight, the bumps. And when he came back, they said, we like you the way you was. You didn't need to do that for us. People need to allow you to become to what that journey to accept you that you want that journey of faith. You want that journey of liberation about who you are. We need to be upholded and reminded that we are created in God's own image. And that God did not create junk. We need to be reminded that the way you are can be, the way you are is the way that you were created. For what reason? To share your life with others. That is what the beauty of the gospel is. That Jesus didn't come to condemn us, but Jesus came to give us life so we could share life with other people. We need to go outside of who we are to be able to grab onto that kind of concept of liberation and say, yeah, God, I want that. I want to be able to share my life with other people. And the handicapped person, I want to share my life with other people, and I want other people to share the stories and the pictures to me. Because together we are into this all together.
Well, I suppose I'm a handicapped person too. I'm 76 years old, an old man. I've been retired for 15 years. But I go on this assumption. I'm a created being. I was created just a little lower than the angels. It's a human being.
We need to be always reminded that we are created from God. We've been baptized. We've been marked with a mark. Nobody can take that away from us. We need to share that. And handicapped is not a handicap. We need to all work together for the common good, to make things better for you and for me. I think liberation can be a process of time and the spirits. It won't come today, and it won't come tomorrow, and it probably ain't gonna come for 10 years. But you need to continue the process of that journey into tomorrow. You never need to look back. Because tomorrow is always tomorrow. Today is always
mañana. Mañana never comes, though, according to the Mexicans.
I started to write a new piece for a book that me and some other people are going to write about the whole topic of changing and revolving and going back and telling your friends, but allowing your friends to experience you and your change. And it's been interesting to talk to some people about that. I think one of the most beautiful things I have experienced in my own hometown is coming home after my first book was published, and there was all kinds of press came before I did, and to see people who always had misconceptions about who I was coming up to me and saying, I know you could do it. I was always lonely about that kind of statement. Why didn't they tell me that before?
Well, I think two handicapped people get a sort of a defense mechanism put up there. You think, a lot of people they figure you're sort of defensive of people coming up to you and think they're going to sell you something or get something from you. And how
many
people
lock the door? These are people that I have known all my life. I mean, these people very surprisingly came to me and said, I knew you could do it.
But it would be the same kind of thing anyone might hear who would write a book, I think.
You do. You don't need to write a book. You could, I think basically what they are saying in that statement, they base you for who you are. Not because you were a book. You became more than what other people around you thought that you would be always in your life.
How many books have you written?
I'm on my third one. But that really is not really important. I mean, I either go write books here, spend millions and millions of dollars to travel around the world to tell my story. I mean, a book is just a new way to communicate to people that you may not be able to reach physically, but maybe they would pick up your book and read it.
Yeah. Did you have a collaborator in your first book?
Yeah.
Not in your second, though?
I don't know what's going to happen in my second one. It is already done. I'm with somebody to...
You have any problems getting it published, or?
Well, it is always a big problem in trying to publish things for anybody.
Well, I wouldn't know. I never wrote a book, so I never even, I just wondered.
The thing that I wanted to close with is that I want to close with a statement of that you can become that liberated person alone, but it's a lot more easier to go through that whole liberation process with somebody behind you and beside you. For your friends to walk with you. To show you things in your whole life that need to be changed. I've been talking about changing, how we change gradually. Change don't happen overnight. It happened. And you are open to new ideas and new concepts and new experiments. I feel sorry for people that do not want to be a part of that change in their own life. Because I think about my own life. If I didn't have the material of saying that I want to change, then I don't think I would have anything good to say to somebody else. I need to always keep my own mind in action of saying, yeah, but I'm working on it and trying to change it my whole attitude about who you are, the way we look at each other, really the change of who you and who I am and who everybody is. We need to be a part of that. We need to be a part of each other's liberation from what? It could be a whole variety of things that we need to be liberated from. And liberating is not a bad word. It doesn't need to be used in the context of what you mean by liberation. And the way that I'm using the word liberation is in the middle of a change of who you are. The new concept between a caterpillar that turned into a butterfly that is really the only animal that take on a whole new figure of it on the ground, moving with its soul, then it revolve into a butterfly and fly away. That kind of the way that I understand liberation is that you begin at one point and end up with another point in your life. And for me, that is an ongoing process of thinking about who I am and moving on with that, and holy for you all to do that, you need to do the same in who you are today and who you may be tomorrow.
Well, that's kind of hard for me to understand. A lot of this, as a human being, I really can't understand the triune God, about God in three and one in three. The same way, your specific handicap, as I understand it, is entirely different from somebody else's. Same as mine is different from hers and her yours and too, see. But you say yours is cerebral palsy from birth. And I suppose that they've been diagnosed so that they give you any kind of treatments, had treatments?
I'm going to do all kinds of treatments.
There you go. I have a personal woman, now almost 60 years old, who was diagnosed at birth as a cretin, C-R-E-T-I-N, cretin. And she was fed this medicine for hypothyroidism from birth. Ordinarily, a cretin doesn't live very long, and the mentality is low. However, her mentality is quite high. But still, she didn't go to school, as a young person. So she's still quite dependent. She couldn't go out and make a living on her own that age. But she has. And now, just recently, the doctor has been treating her. She has a very large goiter, very large goiter. And now the doctor wants that operated on. And heretofore, he's always been against that, see. So her mother, who is 82, was quite upset about it. And And then the doctor called up and says, I want a second opinion. I mean, you should get a second opinion. So this last I heard, they're going to get a second opinion and see whether that can be operated on. The mother is afraid that by operating on that will upset the chemical imbalance, you see, that she's had all this, all years from life, from birth, has had this. I think a cretin is born without the ability to manufacture thyroid in her, you know.
I have heard about them, but I haven't. I don't know what cretins can you can't produce in the body.
Yeah. In my case, my parents, my father, and his mother and my aunt all had diabetes. So consequently, all my life, I've kind of been careful not to get too much sugar. Yet sometimes I really need it, see. So then, yeah. So you see, everybody, just like she said about her husband, having arthritis, you see there. And two, that's been a problem for me, my arthritis, see. And I do consider exercise, and I this hot tub like they have up here, that's helped me wonderfully. But all of it, you're talking about any specific thing to
what I'm talking about.
Your main thing is to say that we should feel good about ourselves, yet have a dependency on that God will take care of us at the same time. Isn't that right?
I'm basically talking about a frame of attitude about who you are and who you think other people is. And that category in anybody at any point, I'm just kind of talking out of my own background, my own experience, the way I theme things.
Well, basically, I'm a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you know, and I realize that. But basically, I have had an inferiority complex. See, you know, why I can't go into all that. But you have to, as you say, you have to feel good about yourself. But still, you don't want to get too arrogant about it. And you realize your limitations, see?
I don't have any limitations. The only limitation is what other people want to put on me.
Well, I think
that is the concept of the way I think. I mean, this things that I definitely cannot do. But do I meditate on the things that I can't do? You meditate on the things that I can do.